This is Apologetics number 14 and lesson number 2. And we are at the top of page 11. We have just completed reading Matthew 24:6 and commenting on that verse. Now Mark 13:7 at the top of page 11 is the same subject that we're talking about. But at the time that you might hear of wars and reports of wars, you be not being alarmed, for it is essential to come to pass, but not yet the finish. Now, I've been trying to explain to you that the interest of the apostles was much more concerned with the restoration of all things. Those of you that have been in Passover with us realize that that's the program of the Passover, to look toward the restoration of all things. And so here, too, these early verses are looking toward the restoration of all things. And in Mark 13:7, you see the absence of the separated pronouns again. Because of the time involved, this prophecy, like Matthew 24:6, is not addressed personally to those to whom Jesus was then speaking. That is, the personal pronouns aren't in there separated. Note also the same emphatic but. Wars and reports of wars have continued for over 1,800 years in almost a normal way. What does Luke say? Luke 21:9. But at the time that you might hear of wars and instability. Now, we have a change here. We have the word instability going in place of reports of wars. Might you not be terrified? We have another substitute. We have terrified going in place of alarms. For it is essential these things to come to pass first, but not immediately the finish. Luke adds instabilities to our information and keeps the same emphatic but. Luke also goes from alarmed to terrified. How could you show any better that things keep getting worse? Now, there's no question about it that had we been there and listened to this discourse, we would have known the sequence in which these things were given. But I think we can reconstruct it quite well, and that's what I'm doing as we go along. Now, Matthew 24:7. For nation will be raised over nation, and kingdom over kingdom, and famines and pestilences and earthquakes will be according to places, that is, in different places. Now, this, of course, is a shift from what you've had, wars and reports of wars. Wars up until World War I were very, very much, well, shall I say, localized. They weren't fighting with the kind of weapons that we introduced in World War I and World War II. And so much of the populace was not always involved in a war. A war went past them, and that's why they had rumors of wars in other places without actually being too much involved. But now we see something very different. Mark 13:8, for nation will be raised over nation and kingdom over kingdom, and earthquakes will be according to places, and will be famines and disturbances. Now we've got another word change, from pestilences to disturbances. Look at Luke 21:10. Then he said to them, nation will be raised over nation, and kingdom over kingdom. Both great earthquakes according to places will be famines and pestilences. Now that's the same as Matthew. I believe these three passages refer to the world wars particularly. Why? Because we are being given prophecies of the things toward the end of this age and the Lord's presence. And that's why that I think that it's important that we see in these the world wars. The key lies in the next passages, the next one, top of page 12. Herein is the key. The very next verses, and it's totally concealed in the King James. The key lies in these verses. Matthew 24:8. But all these things are beginning of birth pain. Not sorrows like King James, not at all. Mark 13, 9 or 8, depending on how your translation is divided. Beginnings of birth pains, these things. Birth pains of the kingdom. That's what they're interested in. That's what they want to know. Now, to me, this is a very important key. Now, look at the explanation. All these things are the beginnings of the birth pains of the state of Israel. And that's exactly what happened as a result of these world wars. Now, look at this passage first from A Land Born in a Day, a book of mine that's no longer available to you, sorry to say, and compare the scripture below. Now, look carefully. Soon after the birth of Theodor Herzl, another great Jew was born, Chaim Weizmann. Chaim Weizmann was born in Russian Poland, November the 27th, 1874. Dr. Weizmann was a great chemist. He discovered a process of synthesizing acetone, and as a result of this work, he was largely responsible for obtaining what is known as the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration was actually a very simple declaration written by Lord Balfour to Lord Rothschild and approved of the British Cabinet November the 2nd, 1917. It reads, quote, His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it's being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of the existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. End quote. Very short, wasn't it? Now, Dr. Chaim Weizmann said in his autobiography, Trial and Error, on page 208, While the cabinet was in session approving the final text, I was waiting outside, this time within call. Sykes brought the document out to me with the exclamation, Dr. Weizmann, it's a boy. This seems like a strange remark to be made at the approval of such a simple declaration. Yet on further examination, this remark seems quite appropriate. For we read in Isaiah 66:8, shall a land be born in one day. All right, look at your scripture, Isaiah 66:7-8. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. That is, as soon as she had the birth pain, she brought forth her children. Isaiah 66:7 is connected with the birth of the Messiah in Midrash. They connect it, and you can see it there. So they say that this is the delivery of the Messiah. They connect the two. So while we see the rebirth of the state of Israel toward the coming of the Messiah, they even put the Messiah in there. Keep that in mind later. Consider Isaiah 26 then, the few verses from Isaiah 13. Down Isaiah 26, Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Now that's where it's been all these years. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Look at these scriptures. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Now, we're looking toward the resurrection here even. Look at these passages. I think they're absolutely amazing. And there are lots more. Isaiah 13:9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now watch. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Now, Luke does not follow Matthew and Mark here. Luke 21:11b says, both great fearful things and signs will be from heaven. Now, we're going to show you these things are figurative as we get further along. But right now, I just want you to notice this passage. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. We'll take that up a little bit later, but just look at these amazing passages. The Balfour Declaration was one of the principal birth pains of Israel, a direct result of World War I, and that date is 1917. So that fixes that date pretty well. And I'm very happy myself to rejoice in these birth pains coming upon Israel, to see these things happening, and the coming of the Messiah to rule his kingdom is close. Oh, we've got a way to go. I'm not meaning close by any moment, by any means. I've just shown you that it isn't imminent. In Jesus' outline of history, Tapa 13, he now returns to those around him. First, the Jews in general. The separate personal pronouns again become frequent. And I'll mark them with these boxes so that they'll stand out for you who do not see the Greek. All right, now, he's gotten them all the way to the birth pains of the kingdom. And that's what they want to know, the restoration of the kingdom. And he's taken them through the terrible birth pains that they've been through, the Holocaust, all these things that have taken place, and he's brought them up to the birth of the kingdom. Now, Luke 21:12 drops back. But before, get that? Before quite all these things, that is, verses 8 through 11. Don't you see? And I think it's very plain, but before quite all these things, they will cast on upon you. Now, we're talking personally to those there, their hands. And they will persecute, giving over into synagogues and guardhouses, being led upon kings and governors on account of my name. But it will result to you with reference to a testimony. Verse 14, therefore, you put for yourselves into your hearts not to be pondering beforehand to make a defense. For I myself shall give to you mouth and wisdom to which all the ones opposing you will not be able to contradict nor to withstand. Now, to the apostles, or to the four, here we go. Mark 13:9. I don't know how limited this might be. Mark 13:9, but you yourselves, see the emphasis? Be looking to yourselves. I don't know what else you want. He's talking to them directly now. For they will give you, there it is, into councils and into synagogues. You will be beaten, and you will be stood upon governors and kings on account of me with reference to a testimony to them. And with reference to all the Gentiles, it is essential the good news to be preached first. Now, I'm coming back on that verse in a little bit. But at the time that they might lead you, giving you over, you be not being anxious beforehand what you might speak, nor you be pondering. But what thing, if it might be given to you in that hour, this thing you be speaking? For you yourselves are not the ones speaking, but the Spirit, namely the Holy. So you see, these can't be future, because these people that he's talking to were the ones concerned. So it can't be future persons with all these personal pronouns in there. You say, well, aren't those personal pronouns where we have, like, you be pondering? Yes, but they're in the verb, like I've tried to show you earlier in this study. But these outstanding separated personal pronouns mark the persons to whom he's speaking. All of these things take time and certainly remove any idea of imminence. The Jewish Christians were soon taken as prisoners into the councils and the synagogues. And we've got all kinds of scripture to back it up. And one thing now we need to back up for is Mark 13:10. See, I brought it down there with that star. See the star up there on the 10th verse? That's very important. Because you see what he said back up there in 10. And with reference to all the Gentiles, it's essential the good news to be preached first. All right, come down to Ephesians 3:8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You see, that's Paul's task, to give it to the Gentiles. Look at Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Now watch. And which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice in the margin, I put that a little bit closer to the exact, of the gospel having been preached. Now there's a big question, how was it preached? Is that in reference to the stars? Maybe, Mark 13:10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now, that's the way the King James has it, but that King James is very misleading. The gospel must first be published among all nations. Looks as though you had to get the good news of the plan of salvation all over the world, and then the Lord would come, and that's exactly what's done with that verse. But you will notice that the more exact translation, with reference to all the Gentiles, that is with the idea that they can be invited. And so, if you go back now in Colossians, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, the idea that Gentiles can come in is an open case. But I think it still has a connection with the star message, because that's how they all knew a virgin-born Savior was to come. All right, now that's important, though, because that's stuck right in the middle of their verse. And you can see very much that with that having to take place, they couldn't have any imminency. 14. Christian Jews were not only brought before councils, beaten in the synagogues, pursued and persecuted, but members of the family were divided. Now, continue the history. He's giving them more. Mark 13:12. But brother will give over brother, with reference to death, and father child, and children will rebel upon parents, and they will put them to death. Luke 21:16. But you will be given over even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put to death some out of you. I must call your attention again to the fact that we are looking through a mirror in an enigma. There are some clues in the Greek, but many clues depend on history for their fulfillment. I'm combining the three records, and I cannot be absolutely sure I am placing each verse in exactly the right position, but key historic events help. Now, I'm not jiggling them around. As you can see, if you're following in the King James, which you could do very easily right alongside, you'll notice I'm advancing steadily in all three accounts. Now, Matthew 24:9, then, see below, we're coming to a totet is the word. They will give you, personal again, over into tribulation, and they will kill you, see, and you will be being hated by all the Gentiles because of my name. Now look at Matthew 24:9 in the King James. I've got it there so you can see. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now you see how they lose the point by changing the words around as they go. And this is my pet peeve with any translation. There is not the consistency. This is not the word afflicted, but the word tribulation. And shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now those are those to whom he's talking. And basically these are Jewish people, the Jewish people at large, not necessarily just believers, because this is applied to the total Jewish people. And I'm going to give you much more on this in just a few minutes. I need to get all these little threads kind of pulling together. I put this King James verse in to show you some of the problems. The consistent translation above is from the King James Greek text. Now, I think that's important to a lot of you, because what I've got there, see the hand pointing to it, Matthew 24:9, that is from the King James Greek text. So the translators, you see, are not faithful to their own text. That's the problem. They're not even faithful to their text. Now, on that word totep, Alfred says, at this time, during this period, not after these things have happened, that is, verses 4 through 8, the whole period of 2,000 years of history. So he says that this being hated by all the Gentiles is going to be all through the whole period of history, and that's exactly true. Now the word tribulation, I told you already, is not afflicted, it's phlipsin in this case. And I've got this little arrow marking you. Since this verse refers to the 2,000 years of history, I believe it refers to the Jews. And I don't see how you can make it do otherwise. Remember, the Lord Jesus said, go not to the Gentiles, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's where he was sent, and that's where he came to witness at the beginning. Now, I also want you to look at Psalm 44. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, my little star coming down, you will be being hated by all the Gentiles. Up there in verse 24:9, Matthew. You will be being hated. I want you to notice that, the way it's worded. Above, note the King James. He shall be hated. Does not carry the full meaning. This is a paraphrastic future. Paraphrastic future expresses durative action that is going on continuously in future time. Dina Manti, you can look in a grammar. A lot of people seem to think I'm setting up something different. No, I'm not. I'm just showing you what Greek teaches. That is, the Jews became hated and have always been hated and are today hated. A hated people called Christ killers. And they've been persecuted all this long period of history. And history bears this out. There isn't any way in the world that you can refute this. No way in the world. I love these statements that there's no way around. Now, you'll notice there, before we leave it, Matthew 24:9, you will be being hated constantly by all the Gentiles. Now, that fixes a little bit, but here, let's go further. Top of 15, this prophecy constantly before us is opposed to any idea of imminence. Lest one mention is not enough, the Holy Spirit recorded it three times. Mark 13:13a, and you will be being hated, there it is again, by all. And this time it leaves out the word the Gentiles. Because of my name. Look at Luke 21:17. And you will be being hated. See, it's compounded into the verb there. By all because of my name. Look at that. Okay. There is an omission in both of these passages. This Mark and Luke passage. As compared to Matthew. Matthew has the Gentiles in there. But it is not in these passages. Why? I believe the Jews are being hated not only by the Gentiles, but sorry to say, by a majority of church members. These passages simply say by all. And I think the majority of church members are anti-Semitic. They have been anti-Semitic and translated the Bible with an anti-Semitic viewpoint, and they have separated the Jew and said that the law is destroyed and done away, and the New Testament church has become the true Israel, and all this kind of material which is totally false, and that's their attitude. So they've been hated by all these. And here is a prophecy of Jesus that would take time. Because don't forget that the Jewish Christians are included in this being hated. The Jewish Christians are included here. That's why they have found it so very uncomfortable in the church. Because they have either been tortured into accepting Jesus, professing to accept Jesus, I should say, by the Catholic Church, which so many were, or they have been just driven out. And so the Hebrew Christians have felt themselves very much ostracized by both Jews and Gentiles. Okay, now this took time, and again, I think precludes any possibility of any imminence. Coming now to the next part. There is an omission in both of these passages as compared to Matthew. Oh, I've just covered that with you. I just read that. I want you to go to the graph next. I'm sorry. Come to the graph. Okay. This graph says Jews will be being hated by all because of my name. They blame the Jews for the death of Christ. Not true the way it's done at all. I can't take that subject up. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what? And the Lord Jesus asked at that point of time. Now, 70 A.D., they began to be being hated totally all over the world as they were sent into diaspora, dispersion. We're up to 1984, and it has not eased a single bit. I could fill up tape upon tape with illustrations of the constant hatred of the Jew. Now, continue the history, Matthew 24:10. And then, there's another one we're going to talk about. Many will be entrapped, and they will give over one another. They will hate one another. Verse 11. And many false prophets will be raised, and they will lead astray many. And because of the lawlessness to be multiplied, the charity of the many will be cooled. But the one having persevered with reference to a finish, this one will be saved. Now we've got all kinds of complications here. Then, we have another totet. Remember back on page 14. The first then, in Matthew 24:9, refers to verses 4 through 8 in Matthew. That is the whole 2,000 years of history, approximately. During this entire time, the Jews have been constantly hated. This is easily proven from history. It certainly does not apply to Gentile Christians, because that's never been true of the Gentile Christian. If our second then totet follows the same meaning, it refers to the approximately 2,000 years the Jews have been being hated. This seems to be the case because the internal friction developed among the Jews. The term false prophet seems primarily Jewish. Further disregard of God's law by the Jews has constantly increased until today we have Orthodox, conservative, and Reformed Jews. Now we'll consider that on the next side of the tape, but let me turn the tape first.